and hearing by the word of God. That's what Paul said in Romans 10 and 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the only way man's going to have faith. The only source given to man to have faith is the word of God. But it's interesting in Romans chapter 10. Go back up to verse number 13. Notice what he says there. He's talking about man equaling God's salvation. Romans 10 and verse number 13. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he says in verse number 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe without a preacher? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Then in verse number 16, the Bible says, but Isaiah said, they have not all obeyed the gospel. Then he says in verse number 17, so then faith coming by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The only way man's going to have faith is through the word of God being preached by gospel preachers. So then faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, without faith, man can even please God. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Him who? God. It is impossible for him to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, God, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek. So without faith, man cannot please God. Satan knows that without faith, man can't be saved, man can't believe, and man will not be saved without faith. Look at Luke chapter 8, and I'll show you why. Notice Luke chapter 8 and verse number 4. Without faith, man can't be well pleasing to God, and Satan knows that. Look at Luke chapter 8 and verse number 4. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden out, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked. And the other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit in a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that has ears to hear, how does faith come? By hearing. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? A lot of times Jesus was speaking parables. Jesus was speaking parables to give people who otherwise would not understand, would give them a better understanding or explanation of what he's saying. So a lot of times he was speaking parables. So this is a parable. Then he said, and he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But the others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now notice verse number 11. Now he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Now according to nature, Genesis 1, 11, and 12, every seed has to reproduce at his own kind. He said the seed is the word of God. You know what? When you plant the word of God, the seed of the kingdom, guess what you're going to get? New Testament Christianity. Christians and Christians only. The seed is the word of God, according to the law of nature that God established in the beginning. Every seed has to reproduce after his own kind. So he says there in Luke 8 and 11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Look at verse number 12. Here's the explanation. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then notice now, then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their heart. Satan knew what to come and get. You see, without the word of God in the heart, there's nothing to produce faith. He came and got the seed. So then faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He knew exactly what to come against. Satan is not ignorant or dumb by any stretch of the imagination. He didn't come to get their thoughts. He didn't come to get their opinions. He didn't come to get the doctrines of man. He didn't come to get the little voice that people sometimes claim that they hear. Satan came and got the very thing that's going to produce faith in our life. That's why verse number 12 says, lest they should believe. How are they going to believe without the word of God? Satan knew exactly what to come again. Satan snatched the word of God from our hearts through doubt and unbelief. Look at Romans chapter 3. Satan snatched the word of God out of our hearts through doubt and unbelief. The Bible says the devil came and snatched the word of God out of their hearts, lest they should believe. Romans chapter 3. Paul is asking a question. He said, what advantage did it have the Jew? But what father is now circumcision? Verse number 2, he says, much in every way, chiefly that because commit unto them, the Jews will commit unto them the oracles of God. Then he says in verse number 3, he says, shall thou unbelief make the word of God in none of faith? You see, just because you don't want to believe the word of God, just because you don't want to believe God, just because you don't want to believe what the scripture says, it's not going to change God. And so just because you don't believe it, God's not going to be affected by it. And so when the Bible says that Satan is still snatching the world out of men's with the heart through doubt and unbelief, because Israel did not believe God, they did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, was not going to change the fact that he was. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Why does he say that? You see, the Jews believed in God, they believed in monotheism, but they failed to accept that Jesus was the true Messiah that God sent. So he said, you believe also in God, believe also in me. They failed to realize that Jesus was the promised Messiah that the Old Testament was talking about. And just because they failed to believe, was not going to change the fact that he was. He was the Messiah, the Christ, whom God had sent. You see, the Bible is the only thing given to man that's going to produce faith. That's why Satan came to that. The Bible, it produces faith in our lives. Nothing else in the world can reduce the faith that's going to be well pleasing to God other than the scriptures. So Paul tells Timothy that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. The scriptures produce faith in our lives. In the second part, the Bible proves that it is inspired of God. Go back to our text. Look at verse number 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Paul says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know how he exalted the word of God? He says, all scripture. Not some, not a few, not a couple, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. Just like Paul did, we as Christians must exalt the word of God in our everyday life. He said, all scripture was given by the inspiration of God. Then he calls the scripture holy. Doesn't the Bible say holy Bible? You see, the Bible is holy. The reason that they are holy is because they came from a holy God. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You see, God is a holy God. That's why the scriptures are holy. The term scripture comes from the Greek word graphic, which means writings. The sacred writings were holy. The sacred writings were inspired of God. All scripture, as it is recorded in scripture, is given by inspiration of God. I have to say it that way because a lot of times people ask you, but what about the words of Satan? Are they inspired? Absolutely not. But when the gospel writers recorded those words, that was the part that was inspired. So all scripture, as it is recorded, is inspired of God. All of the holy writings were given by inspiration of God. The Bible is God's inspired record to man. There's a lot of writings out there, but they're not inspired of God. The Book of Mormon, religious writing, but it's not inspired of God. The Catechism, not a Roman Catholic Church, Book of Writings, but it's not inspired of God. The Quran, and I know I'm over here in Chicago, I know there's a lot of Muslims here in Chicago. The Quran, as good as it may be, not inspired of God. The Confession of Faith in the Methodist Church, not inspired of God. The Standard Baptist Manual, not inspired of God. The only thing that is inspired of God are the Scriptures. Paul affirmed that the Scriptures were given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration is one simple term in the Greek. It's the Greek word theopneustos, meaning God breathed. That's interesting. The Scriptures were given by the very breath of God. Now, the interesting point from the point is this. Sometimes people ask, well, how do you know that man didn't write the Bible? Do you not know that the scripture and man came from the same father? They both came from the breath of God. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So man came from the breath of God and the scriptures came from the breath of God. There's no way man wrote the Bible. I'll show it to you another way. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. There was no way man wrote this. 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians chapter 6, and look at verse number 9. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Then he says again for him to say, don't be deceived, be not deceived. Neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterer, nor effeminate, nor abuser of themselves of mankind. Then he says, neither thieves, nor drunkards, nor covetous, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Neither of these people shall inherit the kingdom of God. Then he says, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So he says, all these people shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know how I know man to write the Bible? He won't condemn himself. Man won't condemn himself. He won't put himself in his list of sins. List of people who will not go to the kingdom of heaven. Not only that, but man will not convict others of wrongdoing. You know why? Because people always say, you know you can't judge. They misconstrued Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7 when Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. Jesus was saying we can judge. He was just saying we can't judge hypocritically. So we can judge. But man, if man wrote the Bible, he would have wrote that. Because Paul would judge all those people who were engaged in those practices of sin. So man can write that of his own accord and own volition. So man can write this. So the Bible proves that it's inspired of God. Look what Peter says. 2 Peter 1 and verse number 20. 2 Peter 1 and 20. The Bible affirms that it's from God. 2 Peter 1 and 20. Look what Peter says. Peter says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, I know when you read that, you thought that'd be your interpretation. That's not what Peter's talking about. He says, knowing this first, that no scripture is of any private interpretation. What is he saying? He's saying, when you look at the Old Testament scriptures, those prophets who wrote the Old Testament didn't make it up. Look at the next verse. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He's saying this. When you go back to the Old Testament, when you look at those minor prophets, within the first 1-3 verses, every time you know what minor prophet was, you're going to say, thus saith the Lord. If you don't believe me, go back and do your own. Thus saith the Lord. Hosea, thus saith the Lord. Joel, thus saith the Lord. Amos, thus saith the Lord. Obadiah, thus saith the Lord. Jonah, thus saith the Lord. Amos, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, thus saith the Lord. Why? Because they were giving credit and honor to God for inspiring them to write the scriptures. May I then write this? You got to give God the credit. God wrote and inspired his word. The Bible says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Bible proves that it is inspired of God. In the last place, the Bible is profitable. Go back to what I was saying. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17. The Bible is profitable to man. Verse number 15, Paul says, and that's on a child. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You see, Paul tells Timothy that he had known the Holy Scriptures since he was a child. In the same epistle, Paul congratulated, he applauds Timothy's mother and grandmother for teaching him the Scriptures. Look at 2 Timothy 1:5. 2 Timothy 1:5. Look what he says there. He says, when I call to remembrance the unstained faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, he says, I am persuaded that is in thee also. You see, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice told Timothy the scriptures since he was a little child. Now, Timothy is about 30 to 40 years of age. Guess what hasn't changed? The scriptures. The word of God. You see, the scriptures have been profitable to Timothy all his life. The scriptures are profitable. The word profitable in the Greek means helpful. Advantageous, that beneficial. When you open the Word of God, you're reading something that's going to help you in your life. You know why? Because we've been doing things our way, we've been doing things the wrong way, we've been doing things the world way. Now it's time for us to let God help us through His Word. God's Word is helpful. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God's going to help us. live in this life, but he's only going to do it through his word. And I know that the word of God is helpful. Have you ever been lost before? Now I'm talking about, have you ever had to drive someplace before MapQuest came along? Or before GPS came along? You just had to get in your car and use a map and still end up getting lost? Only to find somebody who gave you some helpful information and sent you on your way? Then you appreciate that helpful information. Well, if you ever had to go to the store and find some uncommon item, then somebody showed you which aisle it was on and you found it and you finally went in the way of rejoicing, it was helpful. You appreciate it, right? But don't you appreciate this helpful information that you find in the Word of God that's going to help us live successful and godly lives? God is helping us through His Word. Notice now, the Scriptures are profitable in four areas. Paul says, they're profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Or better yet, the Bible tells me when I'm right, it tells me when I'm not right, and it tells me how to get right, and it tells me how to stay right. And so the Bible is profitable. The Bible is profitable if we're going to live in this old sinful world. The Scriptures are profitable for man and this here on earth. Look at 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3. Look at what Peter says. God's word is helpful to us living in this world. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. The text says God has given us all things to help us live in this life and all things that pertain unto godliness. You see, you can't read that nowhere else. You won't read that in Reader's Digest. You won't read that in Oprah's magazine. You won't read that in Ebony or Jack. You won't read that in some self-help book. The only way you're going to get help for eternity is through the Word of God. Peter said, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The Scriptures are going to equip man to face all of life's daily challenges. Notice now, because they are profitable, Paul gives Timothy a charge. Look at 2 Timothy 4. He gives him a charge. Give him a charge in preaching. Notice what he says in 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse number 1. He says, I charge thee therefore before the Lord Jesus, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Then he says in verse number 2, preach the word. What word is he talking about? The same word he just said in chapter 3 and verse number 16. The holy word, the inspired word, preach that word. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but that will their own lust shall they eat themselves teachers, having in ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall return unto faith. Paul gives Timothy a charge. He tells him to preach the word. The word preach means to proclaim unto hell. You gotta speak it loud. Speak it everywhere you go. Preach the word. Notice what you can't preach. Don't preach your thoughts. Don't preach your opinions. Don't preach politics. Don't give a news report. Don't give a weather report. Preach the word. The word is the only thing that's going to save. James 1:21. Wherefore, let it put all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. That's what you preach. Preach the word of God. The word of God is able to save your soul. Paul realized the time was coming where men and women would not allow the word of God to be profitable to them. Verse number 3, he says, and he shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall return unto faith. Now we read, and we heard in the Bible study this morning, and in John chapter 8, truth is the only thing that's going to free us. Truth is the only thing that's going to give us liberty. Truth is the only thing that's going to get men out of their capture and enslavement of sin. But Paul says, men shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall return unto faith. That word faith is in the Greek means myth. Stuff that is made up. Stuff that people cunningly devise. They're going to turn away from the truth to something that's actually made up. He said they're going to turn away from the truth and go to something that man made up in his own mind. When the word of God came from the mind of God. You know why I know the Scriptures are profitable? Look at verse number 13 of that same chapter. Notice what Paul says there. Now he was expecting Timothy to come to him. Now at this point, Paul is sitting in a Roman prison about the things that they're pending death. So he said in 2 Timothy 4, verse number 13, he said, the cloak which I left in Troas with Paul, will now come and bring with thee. And the book, but notice what he said, and especially the parchment. Paul, as he got ready to die, Paul wrote the scriptures by his side. Paul wanted to go into eternity with the scriptures right at his side. He said, bring my book, but it's bring especially the parchment. The parchment was animal skin that they wrote the scriptures on. He said, bring the parchment to me while I'm in prison, waiting to face the judge. The scriptures are proper with a man as he faces eternity. You know what? The scriptures are proper with a day for man's salvation. Look at 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 4. The scriptures are proper with a day for man's salvation. First Timothy 2:4, Paul says, whom I have all men to be saved. How are they going to be saved, Paul? By coming into the knowledge of the truth. What is the truth? Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Whom I have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. That's how men are going to be saved. Because the Bible is proper with a man's salvation. The Bible is proper with a person. And it's still proper with a day of 2010 and man won't be saved. It's proper. But how do you be saved? Because the word is proper. By hearing the gospel. What's the gospel? Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What are the facts of the gospel? That Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. No, the Bible kept saying, according to the scriptures. He didn't die. He wasn't buried. He wasn't resurrected. Haphazardly. But it was according to the scriptures. According to the Old Testament scriptures. He died and was buried and resurrected for our sins. You have to believe that. The Hebrew writer said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You believe that? Repent of your sins. Why should you repent? Because you need to stop doing things your way and start doing the way that God has you doing. Repent, Luke 13:3. I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. When you go back and look at that text, what had happened? A time of failure is the Lord. So did you die? And so Jesus says, I tell you, nay. Who is he talking to? He's talking about to his followers. So just like what happened in Haiti. Yeah, the earthquake did in Haiti, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Be willing to be buried with him in one of the graves without this. And then, live faith unto him. And the Lord will give you a crown of life. And he will add you to his church. After you obey the terms of the gospel. If there's anyone here today who's not a Christian, my friend, the Bible is proper. It's proper for your salvation. If you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved the biblical way, the scriptural way, the way that we find in the New Testament in the book of Acts. They heard the gospel, believed it, and obeyed it, and were baptized for the remission of their sins. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, then you come to the Lord.